Welcome to today's Association of the United States Army Thought Leader Podcast on Team Ignite. This is Colonel Retired Dan Roper, AUSA's Director of National Security Studies. I'll be serving as your host. We are fortunate today to be joined by two Army Futures Command leaders who have been spearheading this initiative for the United States Army, Dr. Gene Vettel and Colonel Stephanie Ahern. Dr. Vettel is the inaugural Chief Scientist for the Futures and Concepts Center in a position that's been sourced by the Combat Capabilities Development Command, also known as DEVCOM. Dr. Vettel's been a civilian neuroscientist for over 10 years and has a doctorate in neuroscience from Brown and also holds academic appointments with the University of California, Santa Barbara, and the University of Pennsylvania. Colonel Ahern, Director of Concepts at Futures and Concepts Center, Army Futures Command, is a graduate of the United States Military Academy, has a Master's of Arts in International Relations and a PhD in Political Science, both from the University of Notre Dame, and a Master of Strategic Studies from the U.S. Army War College. She served in multiple assignments, including Director for Strategic Planning in the National Security Council, and most recently, as Chief of the Secretary of the Army's Initiatives Group. Ladies, welcome to AUSA's Thought Leaders Podcast.
Thank you so much. It's really nice to be here. Thanks for having us.
Now, many of our listeners are familiar with the Army's modernization priorities, as well as Army Futures Command and its supporting cross-functional teams, but may not fully be aware of Team Ignite and its innovative approach to enabling integration across the Army's modernization enterprise. Before we dive too deeply into Team Ignite, it could be helpful for our listeners if you could briefly describe the role of your organizations. Starting with you, Colonel Ahern, could you tell us a little about Futures and Concepts Center?
Sure, happy to. So Lieutenant General Scott McKean is the director of the Futures and Concepts Center. We have four main missions, four main focuses. The first being concepts that my organization does. We also take those concepts and develop the requirements for the future force. We have experimentation. And so as General McKean coming online as the Army's Chief Experimentation Officer, so whether smaller scale or things that are done in the Joint Modernization Command. And then we do integration to make sure that the solutions we are coming up with that we are passing off to TRADOC and CAC have the .mil MPF integration.
Great. And Dr. Vettel, could you please describe what is now known as DEVCOM?
Absolutely. So within DEVCOM, we are a scientific and technologist and engineering community. So we have a technical expertise that refines and hones and advances really the knowledge that is needed specifically for Army capabilities. We certainly partner across both academic and industry partners, as well as other government agencies, about the solutions and capabilities needed for the future. But we are sort of the nerds and geeks who really focus on what are the Army-specific challenges that we need to take care of in our labs and centers in order to really advance knowledge that our soldiers need for our future.
That's very helpful context. Can you describe for us what Team Ignite is and why the Army stood it up in Army Futures Command last year?
Ignite was stood up for addressing a challenge of bringing together expertise in different domains. So we really are focused on how we overcome the historic problem of jargon, where, you know, Colonel Ahern and I might talk to each other about the word information and the information domain or information space, or how does information play in the future? And given our different backgrounds, we overall can talk for several hours before we realize that we actually have defined information fundamentally differently, because I'm coming at it from a scientific point of view of how I could actually study the phenomena, and she's coming at it from an operational point of view of how it is that she could shape that domain or shape that context, set the conditions for an operational mission. In addition, within Ignite, it's really critical that we bring in our collaborators from the threat community to also help us characterize the adversary of the future. And it's the integration of our expertise that we really bring together at Ignite events, where we collaboratively discuss the future and understand what are the new transformational ways we could fight, or in General Murray's terms, what could be. Ignite asks what could be for our future, with the experts in the room that can actually not only envision that future with a lot of granularity and detail and expertise, but then also influences the resources and the execution so that we actually can realize the capabilities we need to maintain overmatch in the future.
When you speak about the future, what's the time horizon that Team Ignite focuses on? How far out there is Army Futures Command leveraging this concept?
So this is Colonel Ahern. The focus that General Murray has for the concepts, which are really the main focus that we have right now, is on 2035. So we do look 2035 and beyond, and we also look at the time from here to 2035, but that's a mark on the wall. We have some idea from the threat perspective, the science and technology, it's stretching the goal. And then from a concepts perspective, how could we use these in a different way? We aren't just looking at that time period, but that's the main focus that we have.
This is Dr. Vettel. It's really important in that space to also realize how the Army is doing something differently, because typical threat projections go out 5 to 7 years. Whenever we think about doing forecasted technology, we need to do that at landing at different timeframes, which means that we have to stretch, because as we mentioned before, Ignite has to bring together the expertise across these communities in order to understand how the adversary might employ a capability or a technology in the future, which is distinct from how the U.S. may employ that technology. So whenever you want to think about what it is that the Army Futures Command is doing differently and in service to our nation, it literally is creating new dialogue about how we're moving beyond the traditional projection approaches in order to really get farther out in the future to make sure that we as a nation can defend ourselves.
And I think one of the other reasons of the 2035, so one that's in the Army strategy, so that makes for an easy answer, but many of the technologies that we are now prototyping and working through the fielding for the cross-functional teams, many of those will be mature by 2035. In addition, General Murray has asked us to look at the AI autonomy and robotics, which by 2035 should be mature enough that they could have an impact on the battlefield. And so as we're trying to really press forward to make sure that we're not writing science fiction from the concept side, and to make sure that the scientists are actually pursuing things that would be helpful, we're able to work collaboratively along with, again, where the threat thinks that our adversaries might be, to come up with a different approach to how we could fight, how we could operate, how could we be equipped, and how we could be organized in the future.
Yeah, and the last note here again on this, we're focused on what could be for 2035, but in these discussions on AI, robotics, and autonomy underpinned by the data and the network, there are opportunities where we don't have to wait for 2035. We also can then, to your point when you opened for us, Dan, was the cross-functional teams within AFC are intentionally landing capability for 2028. So we can also have things dump in earlier or accelerate things earlier if we can. The intention of Ignite is just to make sure that we don't mortgage our future based on too much focus on today.
You cover quite a range of different initiatives, even though your starting point is your focus out 2035, which is when the Army seeks to be fully, you know, MDO capable and able to make its contribution and combine joint all domain command and control and the other aspects associated with that. So are you involved at all in Project Convergence and the efforts that are going on to help bring the services together?
The respective sub-organizations are the critical players, in fact, the leads for Project Convergence. However, Ignite specifically, as we mentioned, is really focusing on future ideas, future capabilities. So Ignite's more primary role in an event like Project Convergence would be to feed the planning for the Project Convergence events that are a couple years out that might be then doing experimentation, say, in 2024 about something that might land in 2032 or something that might land in 2037, depending on the time frame of a given Project Convergence event. But yeah, we wouldn't want to confuse Ignite with Project Convergence, which is working a lot with the CFTs and sort of CFT plus. We're really focused on what could be for a lot of transformative ways to fight with things that you couldn't take to a Project Convergence event because they don't exist yet.
Great. That makes it much easier to understand and help make those more clearly defined. Now, how about, again, pushing it out further with the joint all domain operations that are under development, and the Army's got the lead on the development of the joint functional concept for contested logistics. Is there any place where Team Ignite can help in that, talking about something that does not yet exist?
That's a great question. We actually just today had a conversation between General George and General Fogg at CASCOM, specifically going after General Daley's question from Army Materiel Command about what are the S&T opportunities for sustainment in 2035 and beyond, specifically to help start driving some of the funding decisions in terms of what are our opportunities for sustainment. And this ties really nicely into work coming out of Colonel Ahern's group. So in Stephanie's work with the functional concept for sustainment with CAFCOM, they're already embedding some of these transformative ideas within their future concepts. And this meeting that we had today, literally trying to make sure that we're starting to influence the investment decisions relative for that process.
That was really insightful. I want to go back to something that you've talked about a couple of times, and it's in some of the literature that's been out so far about some of the work that you've done. You talk about essentially not delinking science and technology, but making them distinguishable from each other and linking the science with the concepts development, and then connecting the technology with the requirements side, the requirements generation side, and the dialectical process. Is that something you could elaborate on a little bit more? Because that really seems like that's where the intellectual juice stems from when you put these different experts together.
That's a really great question. What Ignite really was trying to ensure was part of a way of doing business within the Army Futures Command was to link expertise that is talking about ideas for the same future timeframe. So if you think about when we're trying to push out capabilities to our warfighter that are more near term, you're going to have a requirements document that's going to drive the procurement process. You're going to have technologists and then also engineers who are then going to evolve systems and solutions that we have available today. However, whenever we talk about thinking about the future, so like Colonel Ahern's group working on the 2035 narrative, so the next Army operating concept, we don't want to be holden to where knowledge is advanced today, right, or in the next couple of years. We instead want to put on our brainstorming approaches to ensure that we really think about what could be, in General Murray's term, for 2035. Because we want to make sure that we're really not being reactive to what our adversaries do in the future, but we're actually driving the future operating environment in order to have the dominant advantage. So that's the answer to your question, where the science and the concepts are both more of that transformational change in the future, and the technology and the requirements are focused on more near-term solutions, not near-term as in 1 to 2 years, but closer in.
And the only thing that I would add is that, you know, our main focus is the 2035 time period. But when you look at some of the newer initiatives, like the multi-domain task force, it is stood up right now. So General Eisenhower is working through the Indo-Pacific, trying to make changes, trying to figure out what's the Army's approach for the future. But we're not just designing it inside a laboratory or inside a classroom. And so we're also working from a concepts perspective, along with many, many other parts of the Army, to make sure that, you know, in the near term, the concepts that we're also helping work with other parts of the science and technology field, so that before the soldiers are having to get to that .MILPF solution, we've really thought through what could be, even if it's in the nearer term.
You've mentioned 2035 as the focus, but, you know, benefits can be accrued far earlier than that, injected into the system where they're appropriate. But as you focus on 2035, what should the Army be looking for over the next several years just to see what does success look like in your endeavors and what successes have you got thus far?
So I think there's the question of what success in the concept, but I think there's really the what success for Team Ignite, which is the focus of this discussion. And at the end of the day, it's to change the culture of how we do business. The main way that we are trying to measure success within Team Ignite is changing the culture. And of course, that's hard, but let me give you two specific examples. So one of the efforts that we recently did, we called it a focused excursion, but how could we operate differently based off of technology that might exist? And so Dr. Brian Glass, who's coming from DEVCOM, was participating in one of the exercises and realized as we were trying to do what they call a wet gap crossing, which is really just trying to cross a river, which is one of the most dangerous operations you can have. He's like, why do we have to do it in this way? Why can't we use robotics to be able to go secure the front site so that it's just safer for the Army people to go across? And that was someone coming from a science perspective that knew the technology, that knew where the science was, to be able to say what could be. And then the future study program that Dr. Vettel was talking about, every session that we had, it was just normal to have someone discussing the threat and to have at least one person talking about, well, how is the science applied? And then the concepts perspective, how would we use that? And so I think we're trying to work ourselves out of a job But I think at the end of the day, of having those expertise on the front side to make sure that we're just much more efficiently and effectively getting to better solutions.
This is Dr. Vittel again. The metric of how we know that the knowledge was actually intertwined. So it's one thing to have us show up in an event together, which is a critical first step. It's the second order effect whenever we can now point to outcomes, whether it's a funding decision, whether it's the publication of the new concept, whether it's a force design unit that comes out of TRADOC. It could be any of these elements where if you take that product and you hand it to an operational person and they're like, oh, that's actually grounded. And you hand it to a technical person and they say, oh, that's actually really state of the art. And you hand it to a concept person, you're like, that would be transformational if we could fight that way. Where you can take these products that have historically been developed only by one community. And so you give it to another community and they're like, that's from Hollywood. Or we haven't fought that way for 30 years and we're never going to fight that way again. The adversary would take us out in a heartbeat. We want the AFC products to be so tightly integrated with these expertise domains that you could then take a product and give it to any community and there could have a rigorous debate about it, but not whether it was grounded in reality.
Very helpful perspectives from both of you on that. Thank you. I'll give you a moment to think about what your final comments will be for our listeners, but I've just got to tell you, we're getting positive indications that this is serving as a real catalyst for some creative thinking and, you know, framing some challenges in a way that has not been done before. And it sounds like it's already starting to bear fruit and it's postured to generate momentum from the deep future back to the present and from the present to the deep future by linking the longer term science and concepts in a way that has not been done before. And it sounds like you're really getting to that and achieving, as you both referred to culture a couple times, and I've heard the DEFCON commander, General George, talk about cultivating a culture connection between soldiers, scientists, and other technology experts. That really seems like it's the secret sauce for this. So I'd like to turn it over to both of you for your final comments, please.
Sure, absolutely. So this is Colonel Ahern. To me, one of the things that makes America great is, going back to E Pluribus Unum, out of many one. We have across our Army so many different expertise, and we are born of the entrepreneurs and the innovative spirit. And how do we take that expertise and apply ideas about what could be in the future to be able to much more quickly get those into the hands of the soldiers? And so thinking about it's not just us, it's the threat that's also changing quickly. Taking some of the world's leading experts on the science, people that understand the concept, working through it, and then getting actual operators from the beginning to understand how could we actually use this in the future. And so I really think it's the idea of how do we get as many smart people and different perspectives in the room from the beginning, because it matters too much. And so the Team Ignite is really trying to bring the different voices and the different perspectives. And I really think that the AFC and where General Murray has really directed us to go is to make sure that we are benefiting from these different voices and the different expertise from the upfront.
Those are great comments, Colonel Ahern. So Colonel Ahern is a former Army strategist, and we've been embracing a lot of her expertise as we write the Ignite strategy. And one of the things that she taught me is that a lot of strategies end up starting with a designation of who, what organizations are being tasked to perform particular roles or responsibilities. But the critical difference of the Ignite strategy is that it really is a cultural change, as we've discussed in this podcast. And so I think the final thought that I want to leave you with is the question that we get all the time. Who's on Team Ignite? Can I join Team Ignite? How do I join Team Ignite? Answer is that anyone who starts embracing the intersection and integration of expertise in the way that they're producing a product for shaping the future is ignited, is part of Team Ignite. For those of us who have been igniting for a while, we certainly have an onus to have some resources so you can have best practices. But what I really want to leave with you is that the Ignite strategy will ask one thing. Are you ready to start innovating for the future by taking the next time you're going to design an event or create a product where historically you may have had expertise from one community or two communities? Can you deliver that product by integrating additional expertise into that process so that we get an even better solution for the future? of our country.
We'd like to thank Dr. Jean Bettel and Colonel Stephanie Ahern for being with us today and sharing your insights on an initiative so important to Army modernization. And we look forward to keeping apprised in your continued efforts in building an Army that will deliver Aimpoint 2035 MDO capabilities to the Joint Force by 2035 and beyond.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.